Tell you what, I was looking a little bit while they were singing, and I know these young people are out all night Friday night at that thing, so I want to help you a minute, okay? Some of you are struggling, okay? So we're going to do a little exercise before we start, okay? First thing, I want you to take your two fingers right here, and I want you to do a push-up, okay? You're hurting me up here. Hey, man, turn that frown upside down, all right? Now take your right hand. There you go. Raise that right hand up. Right, take that left hand, wave it up a little. Now, some of you ain't doing it. Now, come on, help me out now. All right, give that right hand again. Give me that right hand. There you go. Come on now. Give me that left hand. Yeah. Some of you like to take advantage. Give your husband an elbow wave. Now, both hands. There you go. Praise the Lord. See, you're feeling better already. Amen. All right, let's take a Bible and turn to the book of Acts chapter 16. That's the most aerobic some of you have done in years. Acts chapter 16. Everyone, when you find that, stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Acts chapter number 16. And we'll read a couple of different portions from this passage this morning. I do covet your prayers. He knew he was sick at 4 and 6. I knew he was sick at about 15 after 9. But a man told me one time when I was a young preacher, there's a time I was probably 17 years old, and on Sunday evenings before church, he'd take us in. He showed us some things about putting outlines together, and he told us there's three things a preacher needs to always be ready to do: preach, pray, and drop dead. And so I've tried to always keep something. But Acts chapter 16, verse 14, we'll read two verses here. The Bible says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord had opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me faithful unto the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Look down at verse number 23. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's hands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and besought them out, saying, Sirs, and brought them out, saying, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were with his were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, and he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." You can be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your good mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, for how the choir stirred our hearts in the songs this morning. I praise you for the blessed truth. I'm glad, God, that you're right on time. And I'm glad, Lord, I know not just by the words of a song, but Lord, I'm glad I can still pray through and communicate with you this morning. I bless your name for that. And the Lord, as it's come time for the preaching now, Lord, as I stand in this place this morning, obviously, Lord, I'm hearing Pastor Stewart's stead. And Lord, I want to hold him up before you, ask you, God, you'd touch his body. I pray you'd just move in on him this morning physically. But Lord, I pray he'd be encouraged spiritually in this place. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help me as I preach. Lord, you knew this was coming. It might have been a little bit of a surprise to me. It wasn't a surprise to you. And I pray, God, you'd just touch my mind, bring things to my memory. I pray you'd help me to say exactly what needs to be said. Lord, you know everybody that's here. You know their need. I pray that there's any in this vast congregation this morning that's never truly been saved. I pray the Holy Ghost would deal with their heart and bring them that saving knowledge. I pray you'd touch and encourage your people. Now, Lord, I need your help this morning. My desire is to honor and glorify your name. And I pray that you'd move me aside for just a little while and just work through me. I pray, Lord, that Christ would be exalted in this service. Lord, I pray you'd just meet with us today. Lord, I'm reminded of the words of the song, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. And God, I know that which is flesh, and it profiteth nothing. But God, we pray that with the touch of God this morning, great things will be accomplished. And we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. In these verses we read this morning, we came across three distinct households. We came across Lydia's house, we came across the prison house, and we came across the jailer's house. And these three houses have a representation as it ties to the church. And for just a few minutes, I want to talk to you on this subject. The Lord still makes house calls. I'm glad that God makes house calls. As I look back over my life, and I'm coming up, believe it or not, on 41. It seems like I just came up on 21. But as I look back over my life, I remember as a 16-year-old boy sitting on a church pew week after week. I mean, it's all I know. I've testified this before. I literally cut my teeth on the back of that redback church hymnal and leaned up chewing on the back of that pew. I mean, first, Mama didn't keep me out 6 weeks. I mean, when she felt like going to church after I was born, I went to the house of God. But I'm glad that even though that was in my way, all that religious background, all that self-righteousness in my way, I'm glad that the Lord made a house call one night. I'm glad He showed up on East Court Street in Marion, North Carolina, and made His way down to my pew and turned me loose from the prison I was in and saved my soul. And you can look back on your life and be glad that God made a house call for you. But let's look at these three houses where God stopped by and made house calls, and how it appears and how it kind of acts like the house of God. I'm glad that we're not limited to going to church right here. I'm glad that I can have church 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, because this is but a mere building. The people that occupy this building represent the church of the living God. I'm glad if I gather with me and Mark, we can meet back here and pray and have us a little bit of a church meeting. I can gather with my family sometime through the day, open up the Word of God, and we can pray and we can have church right there, and the Lord will make a house call for me. And I want you to know He'll make a house call for you. Let's look at these three places where God made house calls. The first one I want to look, He made a house call to the prison house. Now I want to show and point out three things about this prison house, but aren't you glad to know that the Lord goes to the prison house? A lot of times with us, we might have respected persons, or we might just have fear. A lot of times we'll go on visitation and we'll go to houses here in particular areas, and some aren't quite as inviting as others. There might be a big dog there, might be some beer bottles laying around out in the yard. It might be kind of junk and trashy and not really inviting, not really homely. But you know, when we look at that, we might tend to have to make ourselves or pass by. I'm glad that the Lord, He makes house calls from the uttermost down to the guttermost. And I'm glad Brother Bill makes house calls down at the local jail. I'm glad He makes house calls to the prison. I'm glad He showed up in this prison that night. I see three things that happen in this place. First of all, let's look at verse number 25. The Bible says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard him." It's an interesting thing in this prison house. What was heard? It was a place where the praise of God's servants is being rendered. You think about this. Paul and Silas had just been arrested as they'd come to Philippi. They'd been whipped and they'd been put in jail. And they'd been committed to that jailkeeper, and they were in chains and stocks, and they were locked up tied into jail that night. And they were probably, and they were hungry, and they were hurting from where they were being beaten. And what would they do down there, down at that jailhouse that night? What did they bow down in their despondency? They said, "Well, God's left us, and He's not going to use us anymore. He just left us out here high and dry." Paul looked over at Silas and said, "Silas, let's have a word of prayer." Boy, they prayed, and boy, I believe Paul just committed it all to the Lord. I can't imagine what he might have prayed, but I look back over times in the Word of God where Paul would pray, even in a ship in a storm, he'd say, "Nevertheless, the Lord stood by me." But he's prayed that night. He didn't understand God's purpose. He didn't understand God's plan. He didn't understand what God was trying to work out, but he prayed, and as he prayed, he began to feel a little victory in his soul and a little joy in his soul. He bowed at his altar, somebody showed up like we were singing about a while ago, and he began to, "Silas, something just kind of stirring in me. Let's see if we can sing a little song here. I ain't that great of a singer, but Silas, you help us out." And they began to break out into a song, and that song turned into praise. Hey, they were rendering that praise before God. It wasn't anything they had to force. It was free praise, just enjoying the good presence and the goodness of God in their lives. Hey, at that midnight hour, at that dark hour, they turned their hearts towards God, and they
they praised him. Hey, the Bible says to rejoice in the Lord always. And he said, again, I say rejoice. I want to encourage you. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know if there's something going on in your finances. I don't know if there's something going on in your family. I don't know if it's at the job. I don't know if it's your health. I don't know what battle you might be facing that's put you in a midnight spot in your life. But I want to encourage you to turn yourself towards God. Offer him praise in that dark hour, because God still makes house calls. He'll show up in your prison, down at the jailhouse. But then I see not only the praise of God's servants is being rendered, but something else happened. Look at verse number 26. The Bible says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. I see not only the praise of God's servants, but I see the power of the sovereign is rumbling in this place. Boy, while they were singing, God turned an ear to what they were doing. Hey, the Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praise saints, and he has a tendency that when God's people start praising him by faith, he'll show up in power. And right there in the prison house that night, the Bible says about the time they hit that last note on that song, like probably Paul just praised God, that's good. About that time, something went to shaking, something went to rumbling. And when God moved through the jailhouse that night, the doors came open and the chains fell off. Isn't it good to know down there at the house of God, you can go and get the help that you need? I don't know what's tying you up tonight. I don't know what's got you locked up in jail this morning. I want you to know in God's presence there's power and it'll set you free. I don't know what vice has you in its grip tonight or this morning. I'm used to preaching at night. That's just my natural. I'm not a morning preacher, amen, but I don't know what's got you in its grip this morning. I don't know what sin has you in its power. I don't know if it's bitterness. I don't know if it's unforgiveness. I don't have to name it to you. I'm glad, thank God, the Holy Ghost will prick your heart with whatever that is. I'm not a prophet. I don't have to be a prophet. I've got the Holy Ghost. He'll move in your heart and show you, and whatever he's revealing to you right now, I want you to know when God moves, there's power. He'll pull the chains loose and they'll fall, and God will set you free. I'm glad God is in the liberating business. Praise God. I'm glad the power moves and he shakes the chains loose. Something else happened in that jail that night. Verse 27 and 28. Bible said, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners to have been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Boy, I think about this jailer. What kind of man this must have been. This jailer, I mean, a lot of times these jailers, I have been told, were men that had been in the military and just got a little age on them and couldn't quite fight like they did. So because of their physical ability had declined, they became jailers. These were hardened men. I mean, boy, they could hurt those men, not flinch. It didn't bother them at all. This was a hardened, this was a cold, this is a cruel man. This man had been commanded and charged to keep these prisoners. And one thing about being a jailer in those days, if somebody escaped, they didn't call out the dogs and say, let's go hunt them. First thing they did, they dealt with the man, held him accountable for allowing them to escape. So if that prisoner escaped, it was your life. Your life for his life. So here that jailer is, he's looking with all that on his mind. And you know, we've read about great miracles that's taking place in this passage already. I mean, the fact that God's people can sing. I mean, the shaking that's going on at midnight and all these chains fall off. A great miracle is, and prisoners were all still there. They didn't go anywhere. I mean, after all he had done to Paul and Silas, he probably could possibly have been the one to put the lashings on them. I don't know. But as he comes sliding in that room and pulled that sword and was going to kill his cell, what did Paul say? You sorry low-down Roscoe, let me do it for you. No, that's not what he said. Boy, the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ shows up right here. That man of God says, wait just a minute. Do thyself no harm. We are all here. here. Hey, in the midst of all that was going on in this prison, after all that jailer had done, after all the wickedness, no telling how many people he'd seen dire, people that actually died at his hand, a wicked, godless, hard, cold, wicked, low-down sinner down there in the dark prison, God was still reaching down to reach where he was. Aren't you glad God reached down for you like he did this man? I'm glad the grace of God has no limitations to the sinner that it can reach to and it can say, I don't know what you did before you got saved. You don't know me, but I want to tell you the chiefest of sinners has already been birthed in the house of God, and God will save all the other little Indians. Amen. But reach down. He's still reaching for sinners down at the house of God. Amen. I'm glad that the house of God can be a soul-saving station. I'm glad that the house of God can be a hospital for sinners, because the great physician is always on call. Amen. That'll make you want to snort and shout glory. Amen. I see another household in this passage this morning. I see this Philippian jailer's house. After they had left the jail that night, after God had saved that old Philippian jailer, he had believed on the Lord and give his heart. Boy, what a change had taken place in his heart already. And he takes him to his house. This house represents the house of God in three ways. First of all, it's a place where the hungry are nourished. Look at this. He said when he had brought them into his house, verse 34, he set meat before them. These men had been in jail. They were no doubt hungry. Boy, and they got to his house, and the Bible says that meat was set before them. That just that word tells you that a hot meal was set before them. It wasn't day old dry bread. It wasn't water that's passed to them. They begin to smell. Praise God! They had a meal set down before them. I'm glad we come down the house of God hungry and weary and tired, and praise God, He'll set up a meal and feed our soul. I don't know what made me think of old Mephibosheth right there. I'm glad when God brought me over from the other side of the tracks, He set me under the king's table, and I ate from the king's table continually. Hey, you know, there's a lot of things I enjoy. I mean, I like watching ball. I like playing ball. I like to see sports. And I have things in life I enjoy doing. I mean, there's nothing like throwing that worm out there up next to the tree, watching that thing kind of fall to the bottom, and all of a sudden that slack start to come out of that line, man, and you lower that rod and you break that bad boy's jaw. I mean, man, I like that, man. I mean, I enjoy that. That's carnal. Ain't nothing wrong with it. But you know, that lasts for just a little while. Quick, you get back to the house, the adrenaline's gone, and that's oh well. But boy, I'm glad you can come down the house of God weary and hungry. I'm glad God will feed you with manna from the table of the king. You know why some of you are weary? I'll throw this in since it's Sunday morning. I'm usually a Sunday night preacher. You ain't eat but one time a week. Hey, serving three meals around here through the week. You eat on your own every day of the week. I'm glad it's a place where you get fed. This world ain't feeding. You know what this world feeds you? You drive down the road, you see the signs. You watch the ball games or the TV show and you get those old commercials. It's just filth. It's beer and it's stuff. Stuff doing what your family's seeing on the TV commercials. And that's what you get fed. You go to work, you just get to see it. You go to restaurants. It's ever. You're bombarded. It's ever before you. But thank God when you come to God's house, you get nourished and given something to satisfy your soul. But something else that happened down here at this house. Bible says in verse 33, He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Verse 22 says this, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Now, I can try to visualize this in my mind, but there's no way I can. They obviously stripped them of their clothes. And they turned their backs to them. I don't know if they pulled them up or they bent them over. They took a whip and they beat Paul and Silas. They probably beat them 39 times. That was generally the custom. Man, they beat them. And boy, I'm sure that leather cut into their backs and cut into them. And when they were there in that jail that night, they were hurting. They were in pain. I mean, that blood had probably scabbed up on their back and probably began to stick to their clothes. And every time they moved, there was pain. That jailer, he took him over to his house. And pull that stuff back off their back, and he began to wash and nurse Paul and Silas and try to clean that up and try to heal them up. He took water and tried to oil and tried to clear up and clean up those wounds, and that happens down here at the house of God. Hey, that same one, you think about that jailer. At one point, just a few hours earlier, he hated Paul. Some of you here look back before you got saved, and the last person you wanted to see was a man of God. The last person you wanted to hear talk to was a man of God. The last thing you wanted to do was sit in a crowded church and listen to a man snort and spit and holler at you. But something happened. That very same man he despised after what happened down at the jail, that's the man he's loving on. That's the man he can't wait to hear. That's the man that he's wanting to nurse and hear him nurse. But you know what happens now at the house of God? That's what the man of God does for you. He takes the Word of God, that good water of the Word of God. The Bible talks about that washing of the Word. Hey, you know what I'm doing for you this morning? I'm trying to wash and help you clean out some wounds with the Word of God. I don't know what you've been through. Praise God when you get back to the house. If your children's hurt you, if your boss has hurt you. Hey, nobody hurts you like God's people. Nobody hurts you like a preacher. Hey, we're living in the army of the Christians. It's the only army in the world that shoots their own and leaves their wounded to die. Hey, I wish I could say I'd never been hurt, but I'm glad down at the house. Hey, I'm glad down at God's house. There's healing for the hurt. There's healing for the wounds. I'm glad, thank God, He'll help your wounds. The hurting are nursed. But then, first, as we looked at these verses, you think about Paul and Silas. You think of where they'd been. I mean, boy, they'd come down to Philippi on the command of the Lord. Just tried to preach the Word of God. Just flat out rejected. They're humiliated. They're ridiculed. They're beaten. They were thrown in jail. But suddenly you find these men. They're taken to this man's house. And boy, they're not put off in a back room somewhere. They're set right there at his table. And they're given the best that he's got. In this place, I want you to know the humiliated are nobled. Boy, that's a neat thing about the house of God. I remember, we was talking about this last night in Micah. And when I was in my early 20s, I worked on a golf course. I was working on a golf course, and I was trying to serve God and live for the Lord. And I want you to know, some of them boys, when they was all together, man, it was rough. I mean, boy, they hammered me. They give me the awfulest time. And, I mean, I ain't trying to brag or boast, boy, but I've heard it a few times. And they would drag me. You know, they got by themselves. As I, but, you know, I laugh about this. They give me the devil when we was at work. But why in the world, when I went out somewhere to preach, that crowd would pile in, they'd come hear me preach. Man, I'd lay it on them, man. I'd squirm at work, they'd squirm at church, amen. I'd give it to me down at the job, I'd give it to them down at the house of God. But you know something, isn't it good to know that you can get help? It's good to know that even though, I don't know what you've heard this week, some of you, you've got somebody that works on a job with you. You'd love if they knew a 3 or 5-letter word, just something besides them 4-letter words. They badmouth the house of God. All they do is talk about the hypocrites. You watch the news and the politics, and it's ever against you. I mean, it'd be the worst thing in the world for you to stand up and say, hey, Jesus loves you. I mean, boy, people just hate you out there, but boy, when you come down here, when you come to, you know where you're sitting tonight, this morning? You're sitting in a seat of honor at your Father's house. Don't matter what's been going on out there, when you get here, hey, you get something that helps you. You get, hey, ain't nobody cussing you here. There's nobody rejecting you here. Thank God you're in God's house of people of like mind, like faith, and want to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. You're amongst people that love you. Hey, you're amongst friends this morning, and you're in God's house. But the humiliator noble. Last thing, and I'll not be long here. First part of our reading this morning, we read about that lady Lydia. Now I want to look at her house. We've looked at the prison house. We've looked at the Philippian jailer's house. But we'll close out looking at the purple seller's house. You know, this is probably as Paul came and met with Lydia there on the riverbank. And all that said, I believe that was just the birthplace of the Church of Philippi, that book of Philippians, New Testament book, when Paul wrote to them, he's writing that Church of Philippi, and I believe that was where it was birthed right there. Boy, I think about how this all came about, and Paul and Silas had in their heart to go to Bithynia. They wanted to go to Asia, and they had that vision, that Macedonian call, saw that man from Macedonia saying, come over, come on over to us. And so they followed the Lord. They went to where he was, and they wound up on a riverbank in Philippi. There's a group of people. They were just doing the best they knew to do. Boy, God in His mercy went to where they were. They didn't know God. They was just trying to do the best they could. And God in His mercy sent a preacher over there to that woman Lydia. Now the interesting thing about Lydia, the Bible says she was from Thyatira. But they bumped into each other at Philippi. That's 300 or 400 miles away. Boy, you look back on your life and think about where you were. I asked Jeff the other day, Jeff's family, his mom and dad go to church, they go somewhere else. I said, Jeff, how did you wind up here? How did you wind up here in a Baptist church serving the Lord? How did you wind up where you are? Boy, you think, look back over your life. I heard Brother McIntosh give a little bit of his testimony the other night. Some of you weren't looking for God. Your mama wasn't a godly woman. Your daddy wasn't a preacher. Y'all might have went to church part of the time. And some way, somehow, in God's great providence, showed up on your riverbank. You might have went to a church one Sunday morning. You might have went chasing a girl and showed up, and instead of you finding that girl, somebody ran you down. Paul, I look back on my life, I told you I was in a preacher's home. We wound up being a little church, and that thing was dried up. And daddy died, and I thought, Lord, that is just the cruelest thing you could ever do is take my daddy. But you know where we went from there? We went to a church, and man, this guy that preached there, he preached thunder and lightning and hellfire and damnation with a deep relief. I mean, he didn't have to say it, just that voice. And boy, I remember the first, they had a junior church. I went to junior church for a few weeks. I actually rode the bus with my neighbor. And my family got going. I remember the first time I actually went upstairs to the big sanctuary. Man, I never seen padded pews before. I mean, man, we use them good old-fashioned oak pews. I'm glad we stick the old-time way, but I'm glad there's some things we've departed from. But I remember going up there and sitting there and think about all the little boys I went to school with, all my family. But there that morning, I remember this vividly as a 9-year-old boy. I sat in that center section. I didn't remember much of what was going on in the service. I was just up there. My mom had taught me to sit relatively still. And that preacher gave that invitation, and boy, he had everybody bow your head and close your eyes. And I bowed my head, closed my eyes. And, you know. And if you were to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? Out of nowhere. God stuck a hook in my heart that day. Say, did you get saved that day? No, but I never got away from what God smote my heart with that day. I walked with that. I carried that for 7 years, what God had worked in my heart. Say, did you get saved? No. Man, that preacher left. Things went sour there. And who would imagine? Again, God have mercy on us. Hook up us up in a fired up church. And boy, I began to see people that knew the joy of God. And as a 16-year-old boy, God smote me and He saved me. How in the world God put me where I was when He saved me? I think of a preacher preached about Philemon and Onesimus the other day. And preacher, I've thought about that, and that book of Philemon, that one little chapter, that story of redemption, that book. But Onesimus, that's the right one, isn't it? That's the right name. Onesimus. The Bible doesn't say exactly when he got saved. He was a slave to Philemon, and he ran away and wound up in Rome. If my geography's right, that's 1,200 miles away. And, I mean, he was a thief. It's possible that he got arrested and bumped into Paul in jail, 1,200 miles away. Boy, what effort God went through to get a hold of you. I mean, some of you, He transplanted from one state to here. Some of you, got a tragedy might have took place. God put you on a job beside old Joe Durite. You could have got a job anywhere. You could have worked on a line beside anybody, but God put you in Lydia's house where you'd hear. My. Aren't you glad that the Lord is still making house calls? Aren't you glad He showed up in your life when He did? Aren't you glad when you were lost, when you were wounded, when you were hurt, that He showed up where you was in your midnight hour, wherever it was you needed Him? The doctor showed up. I want you to know he's still making house calls this morning. Saints, He's making house calls for you. Boy, we live a burdensome time. Boy, we carry a load. But I want you to know he's making house calls. The great physician, is he? Young man, young lady, sir, ma'am, you've never been saved. A lot of this stuff I've preached this morning, you don't have a clue what I've talked about, because you don't know what it is to ever truly have been saved. You're like that Philippian jailer. I want you to know this morning, the doctor's in. He's making house calls. And this day, hey, just like them going to Philippi, just like Onesimus getting hooked up with Paul, who knew I'd be preaching this morning? Who knew you'd be here and hearing me this morning? This might be, God might have set this up just for you. I'm not special, but I know this. God makes no mistakes, and God don't work by happenstance, friend. Everything God does is on purpose and deliberate, and for just by His divine providence, He might have had a word just for you. Boy, don't take that lightly this morning. Boy, don't turn your nose up to that. So what's that mean, preacher? That's just how much He loves you. That's just how much He cares about you, child of God. That's just how much He loves you. He'll show up at your house. He's done show. I needed a house call this morning on the spur of the moment. You know what? He showed right up. Boy, He gave me a good injection of glory this morning, a good vitamin of glory, and stirred my soul up and helped me. He'll do that for you. He'll help you. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother Rex, you get me a song. In just a minute, I'm going to turn the service over to Pastor Stewart. If you want to go ahead and make your way up here, preacher, if you're able. I appreciate your attention this morning. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Nobody looking around but myself and Pastor Stewart, of course. He'll be able to see, but nobody looking but these preachers this morning. There'll be one in the house say, Brother Tim, I don't know for sure. I'll tell you what, I'll ask you like that old preacher asked me. If you died, if you had to leave out and go into eternity this morning, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? How many of you can lift that hand with confidence? I know that I'm going to heaven. I appreciate that honesty. Everybody couldn't raise their hand. Would there be one of you be honest enough this morning and say, Brother Tim, I couldn't raise my hand? And by you raising your hand, you're not committing to come to me. You're not committing to come to altar, but you're just acknowledging, I don't know that I'm saved. I'm not sure. If I died, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I'd go to hell. Would there be somebody just slip up their hand, just up and down, let me see it. I see that hand. There'd be another. Just give God offer. He'll make a house call for you this morning. You can leave here with peace in your heart, knowing that if you died, you're just going to heaven. I'm going to pray, and then you might turn this service over to Pastor Stewart. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your help. Thank you, Lord, that you still make house calls. And I pray, God, for these, this hand that went up this morning, I pray the Holy Ghost would touch that heart. Help them, Lord, that if you're dealing with their heart, they'd come, be saved this morning. There's others, many, that couldn't raise their hand this morning. And I pray, God, that though they didn't raise their hand, that they admitted they were lost, God, they admitted it but not raised it. And I pray, God, you'd help them just to realize where they are. I pray the Holy Ghost to prick their heart. And Lord, you'd save them. Realize, Lord, you want to save them from a devil's hell. Lord, I pray you'd take this invitation, give Pastor Stewart the wisdom he needs as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen.